Welcome again to Arts Alive, the podcast of the St. Pete Catalyst. My name is Bill DeYoung. Our guest today is William Levengood, who is a playwright, a prodigious and prolific playwright, who has a new show that's opened just this week. It opened Thursday at the Off Central here in St. Petersburg. It is called Ghost Stories from Yellowstone. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you very much, Bill. Very glad to be here.
Very cool play. I was privileged to see the final dress rehearsal a couple of nights ago. And, you know, what's so interesting, Ghost Stories from Yellowstone, it's not what you think it is.
No.
You know, different kind of ghost stories.
Yes. And there's a story there, too.
Well, what it looks like from the outside is you're just your normal American family going on a camping trip with the daughter who's on the cell phone, and you know, some of them don't want to be there, and there's some resentment, but it just builds and builds and builds, and the ghost stories come literally out of nowhere. Talk to me about what possessed you to write this, and you know, where it came from, and where you were going with it.
Well, many years ago, it looked like I possibly might be moving to Montana to help run a new theater, become an artistic director. And I thought, wow, I should think of a play to set in that area to, you know, to open the, well, the theater never happened, but I had started writing the play.
It was that easy.
Yes. And actually, the play used to be called Yellowstone. Yeah. But I wrote it long enough ago that the TV series came out and ruined my title.
Oh, boy.
But when I came up with Ghost Stories from Yellowstone, I decided I liked it even more.
Oh, yeah.
It had even more symbolism and or metaphor than Yellowstone alone did. So I really do like it. And, yes, the ghost stories are not the type you talk about around a campfire. It's about people who have lost people very close to them in tragic ways.
Well, what I thought was that there's a good deal of humor in it, and there's obviously a good deal of back and forth emotional drama. But I came away thinking that these people are all really kind of sad. You know, they're all sad in different ways, and they do have strength in family. You know, which was I thought a very cool sort of thing. Towards the end, it's like this may work.
Yes, and that it is supposed to be about people trying to cope with almost unimaginable loss and finding ways to come back and to use humor, to use their deep-seated love for each other, which is underneath the whole time, almost never on the surface. And we discover at the end just how much they all mean to each other and what they're willing to do to help one another.
You're a St. Pete native. Where'd you go to school, and when did the playwriting bug like reach up and pinch you on the cheek and say hello?
Well, I was I went to Shorecrest. I started going there in fifth grade, and somewhere by sixth grade, I had already started writing for a sixth grader somewhat prolifically, and I was writing short stories for the literary magazine. I was kind of the head guy there, and then when I was 17, I was introduced to an Edward Albee play called The Zoo Story. Soon as I heard that, I said, oh, playwriting, that's what I want to do, because that was the first time it was revealed to me that you could dig down and tell the truth about the human condition without any sugarcoating or flowery anything.
I think when you get into a script with people talking, it's very intimate. It's almost like being inside their heads.
Yep.
And it's not, say, like a novel. You know, it's just a different way of getting, as you say, inside the human psyche and, you know, the human condition and all those things. It's baffling to me, frankly. So how long did it take you to get to where you said, I'm going to show something to somebody?
In college, I actually went in and campaigned that my senior thesis was going to be a full-length play. I'd written a couple one-acts at that point. And it was called The Winter of Youth, and it ended up actually getting produced in Orlando. As soon as I left college and went to L.A., it was almost produced in L.A. Then I went to New York, and it was almost produced in New York. But, you know, right off the bat, I guess people sort of let me know that I was on to something as far as what my talent was.
You've written, I guess, is published the word, it's like more than 20 plays now. Are you up to 30 yet?
50, over 50.
Wait a minute. You know, I called the research department. I just read 20 and figured I'd add a few. Wow.
Well, now, plays, I'm probably up to 30, and then I throw in full-length screenplays, and they're
okay.
Then we're over 50.
You threw a wrench into the thing.
Yes,
there.
If I use short plays, I'd be even further along.
Tell me about, you were gone, but you came back to St. Petersburg at a certain point. When was that, and why?
Okay, well, I lived in New York City from 1983 to 92. And I was convinced by a mentor that the big money was out in Hollywood. So even though I had had some success as a playwright in New York, I took the bait and I went out to California, got myself a very powerful agent. Everything was coming up roses. And then I couldn't sell anything. And when I couldn't sell anything for a couple of years, I was becoming a belligerent person to be represented because I needed money. And so I was cut loose by my powerful agent. I was having our first child, and I said, I need health insurance. So I wrote a letter to my old college and my old high school saying, hey, do you want a theater teacher? And my old college didn't even respond to the letter, and my old high school immediately called me and said, we would love for you to come back and teach here. So
this is Shorecrest you're talking about.
This is Shorecrest, and yeah. The idea was going to teach there for 1 year as a guest teacher and then go back to my career, and I ended up teaching there for 26 years and putting both my daughters through school there. So,
what's that like? I just did a piece with this guy named Drew Raven who does something similar to that, but I don't think Drew is a writer. But he runs a theater school, sort of the same thing. I mean, what is that like? I was in theater in high school, and me and some buddies of mine were really bad actors. How do you do that? How do you teach that without kind of making value judgments on kids? You're not supposed to do that.
I've been very fortunate because Shorecrest, the theater department, started becoming a thing, became very good and popular.
It did, yeah.
And so the people who signed up for theater were really into it. They were not people who, I just got to get rid of this elective qualification.
Of course. I see. Yeah. And you don't get into the fame school unless you have a little bit of talent.
Yep. And then the other thing is I decided I was just going to teach them the same way I would teach a professional, anyone who wanted to be a professional actor. And that's how I think we had such good results, is I taught them the right way to act from the beginning.
26 years.
Yep.
Wow. Were you still writing at,
Yes, never stopped.
Is this one, Crossing the Bay, happened? That's the first time you kind of came on my radar.
Web City.
Web City was first?
Down here, yeah. Right. But, I mean, before that, in 93, I went to the National Playwrights Conference with a play called 17 Black, and then I went back in 95 with the Preservation Society, which was done off Broadway after that. So I continued to write plays and travel to New York and Los Angeles even after I was back here and teaching full time.
Is this when you hooked up with Circle East, the Circle East company?
Which is now called New Circle.
Okay.
New Circle was a vestige of Circle Repertory, which I was a member of in New York, and it went under in 1996, I think. And so years later, some of the people who had been in the company created this new company.
New Circle.
Yes, and not quite like Circle Rep, and that Circle Rep was a major off-Broadway playhouse. And this is a fledgling group that does workshops and stuff, but doesn't really produce itself. It just.
But Circle East did produce a couple of your shows.
Yeah. One acts, yes.
Short
plays.
So
in
I'm learning
festivals.
The terminology here as we go along.
Yes, in festivals. Yeah. And they did help also with the early development of Yellowstone, now called Ghost Stories from Yellowstone, as well as another theater out in L.A. whose name I have forgotten.
Happens to me all the time. So Web City the Musical was, commissioned by the Pinellas County Bison. What's that story?
Yes.
The Bicentennial Commission or something?
Okay, so, yes, it was commissioned after I went to the head of the Pinellas County saying, you know what you should do? You should commission us to write a new musical.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into that meeting with the whole, committee of all these power brokers in the town. And I said, hey, how about, this is funny, how about a musical about Gasparilla?
Right.
And you could hear, a pin drop, crickets, because it's like the one guy said, that's Tampa.
You don't mention Tampa in St. Yes. Petersburg.
And by the way, of course, I turned it around and called it Gaspar, and it is coming to St.
Pete. I know. I want to talk about that in a few minutes, but let's stay with Web City for a minute because that was a huge thing.
It was
40 people in the cast or something.
I mean, yes. And Lee Alleyne wrote the music and lyrics, and he is fantastic. And I think, you know, everybody, especially like the critics, thought it's going to, oh, this cute little hometown thing. And of course, it did become, you know, a big hit. And as far as I know, it still has the box office record for ticket sales at the Mahaffey.
Wow.
It was done at the City Theater years later as a community theater that broke the box office records for them.
You do a concert version, too. That's
which we did at the Palladium.
Yeah. That's right. That's the one I saw.
And people say, why don't you do the full one? And it's because, well, the concert one costs $20,000. The full one costs $300,000. So that's why.
You got to build that, you know, full replica of Web City and on the stage. And you know, that ain't cheap, folks. You need the Big Mermaid and everything.
And you're in big union houses. So all the salaries, everything.
Well, let's talk about the Gaspar musical, because that's coming. What, January?
January 4th to 7th. Yep.
Where are we doing this?
At the Palladium in Huff Hall.
And is this another big, massive, full production?
It is. It is. The cast is a mere 14, though, because I learned my lesson.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the reasons we couldn't travel, you know, elsewhere with Web City is because I'd written it for 40-plus people, and nobody does musicals that size anymore, really. Yeah. But Gaspar is going to be a full production. I have worked with the Palladium before like this. They kind of partner with me, and as well as the St. Pete Museum of History. They help market. They give me the theater.
Oh, yeah.
I have to raise the money for all the hard costs myself, which thank you to all my friends and patrons out there who made that happen.
And who's your musical collaborator on this one?
Constantine Graham, who is a musical genius, and when we started working together, it really was one of those magical things. I mean, Lee and I worked great together, too. Lee just said, I'm done writing musicals. But Constantine, we were just churning the songs out. We did a musical called Drilled that was done at the Palladium.
The dentist one. Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Right, yeah.
Right. And so this is our second one. Plus, we have, you know, two others in the works. I don't know if we're going to finish those or start fresh.
Ghost Stories from Yellowstone, the musical.
Yeah, no, it's set in Egypt, and you know, Constantine looked at me. He says, "I don't know anyone who's going to want to do a operetta dark comedy set in ancient Egypt. I don't know who's going to want that."
Where can I buy a ticket? I'm in, man. So I wanted to talk with you about the Sister Mothers of Gulfport, which was something that was done when the Off Central was still called Studio Grand Central.
Yeah,
not so long ago, but that I think that was the first one that I saw where I kind of went, you know, it was the first drama that I saw of yours. And I was like, this is pretty good. You know, Amanda Ladd was in that, who I guess you met from New York, and she's been in a lot of your stuff.
She's actually from St. Petersburg.
That's right.
Yep.
I do remember this. She went to
Northside Christian.
Northside, that's right. Mm-hmm. So you're filling in the blanks for me, but I did an interview with her, and she was great. And then from that sprang the Azure Sky in Oz.
Right.
Which she still does around the country.
She does. Now, the Azure Sky in Oz had been done before. Mm-hmm. Sister Mothers was a premiere.
Okay.
But Amanda, she's done it in New York in two different festivals. She did it in Edinburgh. She did it in North Carolina. And she might do it down in Venice, Florida later this year.
That's a one-woman show.
Explain
what that show is. It's a fascinating concept. And
it's based on two real women who are dear friends of mine and have been for, you know, 40 plus years, both of whose lives ended up being very intertwined with other abled people. One of them became a special ed teacher and did incredible stuff with her kids, getting them to do productions of plays when, of course, she was told by all the higher ups that they can't do it. You're just going to set them up for failure, and it's going to be a terrible experience, and it ended up being life-changing.
You know what? I've seen theater exceptional. I've seen people around here do amazing things with actors with disabilities, and it's it can be done.
And it's the experience for them where they actually realize that they yeah. are doing something that other people can do. They can do it.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great thing.
And then the other one, my friend who was a fantastic visual artist. In fact, we did a children's book together. And she ended up having one of her sons was profoundly autistic. And it's about her journey as an artist, mother, and caretaker of that challenging young man.
Yeah, I remember talking with you about this when they were coming out. And this is the first and second act of the same show. Is
yeah, that, she, plays one, she plays one yeah. of them in act one and the other one in act two.
How do you, as a playwright, or even you know, as a creative, as a human being, how do you say, I'm going to make this sing. I'm going to make this story lyrical and tell these stuff. I mean, it seems like quite the challenge, you know. It'd be easier to just write some wacky comedy about, you know, high school kids or something.
I think it's what matters to me. I'd say, and I do write wacky comedy, but I think it matters to me. And partially you have to have I think you have an ear for it. Much like you have an ear for music, you have an ear for dialogue, you have an eye for what it is about the human condition and experience yeah. that is worth, you know, retelling or presenting on the stage. And I was supposed to actually be writing a play about a famous Floridian. And instead I said, well, the most interesting Floridian to me is my friend who directs special ed kids in productions of The Wizard of Oz. And so I interviewed her at length about all her experience, because she was so kind. She was absolutely the earth mother. You would love your children to be taken care of by her, but she was also tough as nails when it came to standing up to authority and making sure her kids got what they needed.
So instead of going with like the sure paycheck, what you did is you followed your heart as you would. Yes. This is the right thing for me to do.
It's the one that I thought I could bring the most to. And, you know, that production, the whole idea is it's a very intimate experience for the audience where you feel like you spend 45 minutes with each one of them mm-hmm. as if you are, you know, their closest friend. And by the end, you just feel like you know them.
I think Amanda is brilliant. I really do. And, yeah, I hope she comes back around here sometime.
She will.
Her mom lives here or something, right? So
yeah, she would have been in Gaspar, except for she's a baby due any day now.
Hey, if you're listening, congrats, kiddo. That's fabulous. Yep. Let's recap by talking a little bit more about Ghost Stories, because it is, I think if I were a marketer, and in some ways I suppose I am, it's probably a hard sell to this is a local playwright, you know, whether he's an experienced and he's successful playwright or not. You know, if they haven't heard of you, it's like, what's this all about?
Yep.
You know, if you, let's say you were sitting next to somebody on an airplane, so, you know, somebody who maybe didn't smell bad, and you could strike up a conversation. What do you do, Mr. Levengood? Well, I've just written this play, and it's...
Oh, okay. Tough one. But it is about a family and a family friend who go to Yellowstone for a family vacation at a campground and are trying to overcome their demons, many of which that have been caused by great personal loss that is almost unimaginable. And they're trying to keep the family together to help the friend overcome the loss of her parents. And yes, as you said, somehow it's funny because that's how these characters in a healthy way deal with this.
That's also probably important in not only fiction writing but in script writing too, to balance it so it doesn't just become about this. It goes up and it goes down, and if you succeed, which I believe you have as the audience, I'm going with you.
Yeah,
this push and pull.
What I told the actors is my plays like this one, I want the audience to go on a journey and I don't want them to be aware of anything I'm doing until afterwards they can talk about it. But the idea is to pull them in completely. So whatever the messages I'm delivering, I try to hide it not very well. But anyway, everything comes out of natural behavior. Uh-huh. so that you hopefully just get engrossed with the sense that you're watching real people living and breathing in 90 minutes of their lives.
You've got a great cast there too. Ward. I think Ward Smith is one of our good, really great actors around
here.
He's
great. He was in Sister Mothers too.
Oh yeah, that's
he's
right.
He's wonderful.
I think, I didn't know Ward that long when Sister Mothers was on, and it was like, look at this guy.
Yeah, actually, yeah. I met Ward because he did a play of mine called Moneymaker in Tampa at the Heather.
At the Heather.
Yes.
The Heather. He told me that story.
Yep.
So listen, Ghost Stories from Yellowstone by Mr. William Lovegood is on stage at the Off Central through October the 15th, Thursdays through Sundays. And you can get tickets at theoffcentral.com. Anything else you want to tell the folks at home?
Well, just to support the Off Central, because it's incredible that we have this theater that is producing nonstop new and plays or first productions in the area, and they're always involved in something. And, so just come out and support them. The rest of the cast, Margaret Murphy, Chiara Dorothea, Dom Riottini, and Mackenzie Aaron, just fantastic. And
I think I remember thinking while I was watching it that this is the sort of venue you want to see this in.
Yes.
Less than 50 seats at the Off Central, but you're right there. You're right there in the campsite with them.
Yep.
You know, I was looking at that thing going, I could never put that stick in that tent and get it to stand up, you know, because folks, they actually put up tents on the stage.
There are a lot of props. Yeah. So good on you to Judy Brackey, who's our stage manager and prop master. There are so many props. They are doing so much. And because you are right atop of them, they have to be very good actors. Oh.
Go to see Ghost Stories from Yellowstone. It's at the Off Central through the 15th of October. Bill Lovegood, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you, Bill.